All right, church, let's pray together. Redeeming God and Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, connect us to eternity through our hearing of your holy word, that we might know your living presence and seek to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Today, I would like to begin with a quote from a faithful early Christian who stated it around 170 A.D., a long time ago. So hear this quote from Irenaeus of Lyon. Those who are truly disciples, receiving grace from him, perform miracles in his name for the well-being of others. According to the gift which each one has received from him. For some truly drive out devils, so that those who have thus been cleansed from evil spirits frequently believe in Christ and join themselves to the church. Others have foreknowledge of things to come. They see visions and other prophecies. Others heal the sick by laying their hands upon them, and they are made whole. Yes, moreover, the dead have even been raised up and remained among us for many years. This testimony of Irenaeus of Lyon, who lived from 130 till 202 A.D., describes what church life was like during his time. he is referring here not to the actions of extremely holy individuals, but rather the deeds of ordinary Christians who, filled with the Holy Spirit, believed in and lived according to the promises of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine our church or community regularly experiencing such incredible manifestations of the Holy Spirit? The early church prayed, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Acts 4, 29 through 30. Could we dare to pray the same for an increase of God's work in our midst today? Is it not appropriate to pray that God would renew his wonders in our day by the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit so that God's kingdom and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven? Such a prayer, such a cry has been echoed in the minds and hearts of faithful Christians in every single Christian age. The gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and by Irenaeus are referred to as spiritual gifts or charisms. Today, many practicing Christians are familiar with these terms, but few truly understand its meaning or what the Holy Bible and the faithful church have to say about it. So, what are spiritual gifts or charisms? In the Greek language, which is the original language of the New Testament, the word for spiritual gifts or charisms is charisma or charismata. The root of this word is charis, which means grace. Therefore, spiritual gifts are graces that come from God and God alone. The Apostle Paul, guided by God, uses this word in five main ways in Holy Scripture. First, generally, he uses it to refer to any gift that comes from God, including marriage or deliverance from danger. Second, when talking about Israel, Paul explains that God does not change his intentions regarding his gifts. He states, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." Romans 11:29. Third, he uses it to refer to the gift of eternal life and the gift of justification. Fourth, he mentions the gift Timothy receives through the laying on of hands, which is most likely the gift of the Holy Spirit himself coming upon Timothy. And finally, the Apostle Paul refers to them as spiritual gifts in our passage today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Although these gifts depend on the intervention of the Holy Spirit and are therefore supernatural, Paul does not imply that they are rare in Christian communities and in the church's mission, but rather they are relatively common in the church. The spiritual gifts contribute, though in different ways, to the life renewal and sanctification of God's people. And from these spiritual gifts, the Christian church has experienced remarkable growth, not only in the communities of the early church, but throughout every century. The church does not grow on its own, but relies on the salvation, grace, guidance, and power of God. So, I call out to the church today, open yourselves to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Accept gratefully and obediently the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit can continually bestows upon His church and people, upon His people, for the church and for the common good. These spiritual gifts can be clearly supernatural, such as healings or miracles, or they may, through supernatural grace, enhance natural talents like preaching, teaching, or leading faithful worship to achieve a supernatural impact and effectiveness that cannot be reached by human abilities alone. Either way, what makes spiritual gifts unique is that they depend upon the believer's reliance upon the Holy Spirit's intervention for guidance, power, and fruitfulness. Jesus Christ is absolutely the Savior of every single Christian. It is only through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that people are forgiven and saved. It is only through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that God's people can enter into heaven with Him. But Jesus Christ is also the pattern for our Christian life. It is impossible to envision the life of Jesus without His gifts of healing, Him delivering people from demons and evil spirits, His miracles, supernatural wisdom, prophecy, and supernatural knowledge about people and events. Such manifestations in the lives of Christians represent the sharing in God's own power. They are signs of God's kingdom here on earth, among His people. They were integral to Jesus' mission in the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Messianic age and the age of the church. Holy Scripture tells us, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Joel 2:28. Regarding such manners, Thomas Aquinas, an absolutely brilliant Christian, more brilliant than anyone in this room, including me, correctly writes about the mid-13th century. "Hence, it is clear that all the gracious graces, graces freely given, including the spiritual gifts, are most excellently in Christ as the first and chief teacher of the faith, and then given to His church." Friends, In Jesus Christ, we possess all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, graces and spiritual gifts, virtues, and all other gifts foretold in the prophecies of Isaiah, Joel, and other prophets. If the Gospels and the Book of Acts had all their references and supernatural elements removed, these books would be unrecognizable, much shorter, and far less compelling. Although such gifts have never completely disappeared, God, in his abundant mercy, seems to be restoring them to his church today with renewed generosity. It is clear from Jesus' own words that he intended believers to receive such supernatural gifts as a result of the Holy Spirit's outpouring in our lives today. Many of Jesus' promises seem extraordinary to us. For example, in John's Gospel, we read, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." John 14:12. The context of this verse revolves around a discussion on miracles. Many faithful biblical scholars clarify that the word works in this passage include miracles and supernatural acts performed by the Christian believer. These theologians essentially state that belief in Jesus will grant the Christian the power from God to perform the same works, including miracles, that Jesus performs. Because by uniting a person with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, belief and faith gives them a share in God's power and guidance, as God wills. I want to be very clear about something. We, on our own or by our own will, cannot conjure up the gifts and power of God, as some of our Pentecostal and Word of Faith brothers and sisters wrongly believe. These spiritual gifts come only from God's grace and God's will through our God-given faith in God's perfect timing. I want to be very clear about that. But with that said, Jesus assured the early church in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Greek word in the New Testament, translated here as power, is dynamis, from which English words like dynamite, dynamic, and dynasty are derived. This Greek term, dynamis, in the New Testament is most often translated as miracle, or sometimes mighty work, literally meaning a deed of power. Therefore, the passage in John 14:12 can also be read as, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works, including supernatural deeds of power, that I do." Jesus is the model of the Christian life. And in the letter to the Romans, we read that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. Romans 8:29. This passage is about our way of living and our moral character, but as the early church and many faithful theologians point out, it is also about what is available to us in our ministry to others through the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, there are three great commissions in the New Testament. First, the 12 apostles are sent out and given authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Matthew 10:1. Then Jesus not only sends out his closest 12 disciples, but also sends out 72 of them. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And Jesus said to the 72, "Heal the sick in it, and say to them that the kingdom of God has come near to you." When the 72 returned from their mission, they reported with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Luke chapter 10, verses 1, 9, and 17. Such passages of Holy Scripture, like the one from the book of Acts that we heard from 2 weeks ago, where the Holy Spirit falls upon new converts to Christianity, and they start prophesying and speaking in tongues by the power of the Holy Spirit, challenges those who believe that spiritual gifts were only given to the closest to Jesus. Meaning, no, my friends, no. Spiritual gifts were given to believers in general. Finally, a third commission. Jesus, at the ascension, broadens his commission to all believers. "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Mark 16, verses 15 through 20. A key word in this passage is believers. This ministry of supernatural signs and wonders was not only entrusted to a special group of Christians, the 12 and the 72, but was also poured out throughout God's church and among all his people, the believers. Neither are these gifts promised only to experts or very holy people, but to everyone who believes. Of course, this does not mean that expertise or holiness is unimportant. It is. That is self-evident. As we will see in a later date, the Holy Scriptures and Christian history demonstrate that individuals with greater knowledge and greater holiness tend to be more effective and fruitful in exercising their spiritual gifts. However, these are not the fundamental criteria for starting. Instead, the cause of God's great spiritual gifts is always God. As God wills. As God wills. I want great and mighty things to happen among us in this church. And I don't know about you, but I have a faith that believes that God can do the miraculous. Absolutely. I have a story. Because every time I come up here and do what I do, I believe it's an absolute miracle. I know that some of you think I'm a real academic. I know my church history. I know philosophy. I know my scriptures. I know Christian history. I've dedicated myself, my life to that. But this has not always been the case for me. I don't want to give you the whole story. I struggled with education all my life. I wanted so badly in my life to be able to do what I'm doing now. And I prayed constantly for it. When I graduated from high school, I graduated with a 1.4. Now, you're probably wondering, how in the world can someone who graduates with a 1.4 get into the University of Michigan? Because that's a great college. I prayed and I begged God. The year that I graduated from my high school, Ypsilanti High School, which was right next to Ann Arbor, the Holy Land, there was a place with people that struggled with learning like I did. It opened up. And there was only two ways that you could actually use that facility. One was that you were a student of the Ann Arbor school system. I had just graduated. I couldn't get in that way. The only other way that I could get in there is that if I was a student of the University of Michigan. And so I had a friend of mine who actually was accepted. And when they were accepted, there was always meetings that they would have with a counselor there at U of M. And that counselor would not only talk to the individual being accepted, but would also talk to the family. And I asked my friend, please, let me go with you. Because I wanted to beg that counselor to get in. I wanted to talk to him about the passion that I've always had to get to this level, but could not do it on my own. And so I went and begged. I went first, and I was on my knees praying to God. And God provided a way. What I do up here every week is not easy for me. As easy as I might make it look. But I know that God is working in me in a supernatural way that I could not do this on my own. Every time I stand up here, I am convinced over and over and over again that the spiritual gifts do still exist because he's working through me. I could not do this with my own talent. God provided a way, helped me out every stage of the way. And you would say, well, Pastor Ryan, sounds like you did a lot of work. And I did. Having a spiritual gift doesn't mean that you still aren't working. It means that you're just working alongside God. And with God, he brings fruit through it. Through God, with God, it is more powerful. So I praise God every single day for his great and mighty spiritual gifts. And I want you to experience that as well. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray for us. Lord God, you have given us so many graces in our lives. You, O Lord, have allowed us even to provide for ourselves. You, O Lord, have allowed us to be a part of this country where we receive many graces that many other people in the world do not receive. But often, when we live in such a society, we think that we can just lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. God, I ask that you would do a good work in all of us, every single one of us, in which, Lord, we do not rely upon our own selves, even our family, that we do not rely only upon the natural gifts that you have given us, that we praise you over as well. But Lord, we ask, because Lord, it is only through you that your church can exist and can grow. And it is only by you, O Lord, that we can grow. Lord, I ask that you would do a work in us, that we would put more reliance upon you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, loving Father. And bless your church and your people in such wonderful ways. I pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.